As we continue to explore the life of David, we're going to mix in a couple of the more famous Davidic Psalms today. We're going to look at Psalm 23, maybe one of the most well-known passages in all of Scripture. If you will open your copy of God's Word, I'll read Psalm 23. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Life in a fallen, sinful, corrupt world is difficult. People can be cruel. Our circumstances are challenging, whether it be in relation to financial difficulties, relational hardships, health complications. Our hearts are corrupt. We fail morally at times. We chase after the things of the world. We sin. How do we cope under such difficult circumstances? What keeps us from throwing in the towel and giving up? David's world was no different. He experienced unjust treatment. For instance, in his relationship with Saul, who despised him without cause, was jealous over a man who simply sought to serve him. David, in his own life, even though he was a man who pursued righteousness, he also experienced great moral failure. He had unholy conduct. He committed adultery. He tried to cover it up by murder. He lied at times. He also had a dysfunctional family. Within his own family experience, there was incest, rebellion, and murder. How did this man manage? Well, one of the great sources of his strength was his perspective on life. He believed that as he walked with God through all of those life experiences, God was with him. God was and is and continues to be his shepherd. Our comfort in life comes from knowing that the Lord is constantly watching over us like a shepherd watches over his flock. You remember Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. He is our shepherd and we are his sheep. I think this thought, which is expressed in Psalm 23, is summed up very well by the Heidelberg Catechism, question 1. That question is this: what is your only comfort in life and in death? The answer: that I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all of my sins and redeemed me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me, that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Yes, that all things must work together for my salvation. Wherefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready. And makes me heartily willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Beautiful summary of what David is trying to express to us in Psalm 23. As we study the psalm, we're going to look at it under three headings. First, the Good Shepherd's presence. Second, the Good Shepherd's provision. And then third, the Good Shepherd's protection. First, the Good Shepherd's presence. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. David is in the midst of a difficult time, or he's reflecting upon the difficulties that he experienced in his life. He describes it as walking with God through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't know if it gets any more darker and difficult than what that language images in our mind. There are times in David's life where his enemies were making things extremely difficult for him. We've talked a lot about Saul, the first king of Israel. David loyally served him, and yet Saul betrays him, turns on him, returns good with evil, places David's life in jeopardy. Later in his life, after he had been established as a king, he's in his older age. You would think that he would be experiencing peace and comfort, but the Lord brings another trial, a more emotional trial to his life. His own son, Absalom, rebels against him. During that same time, he's betrayed by one of his chief governmental counselors, Ahithophel. He's exploited by a person that he helped, a man by the name of Ziba, a servant of Mephibosheth. His world is just exploding all around him. And he thinks back upon these trials, these deep, dark periods in his life, and remembers that God is with him. The temptation in times like this, and I know we've all experienced it, when we get into great difficulties, when we feel as if everything is working against us, we're in the valley of the shadow of death, the temptation is to feel that we're all alone and that God is angry with us and God has abandoned us. And we need psalms like this to remind us that that's not true. David reveals to us, and he sets a pattern before us of how we're to conduct ourselves in times like this. We need a God-centered outlook on life. Our feelings of abandonment or of God's anger need to be overruled by our faith. David says that the Lord is his shepherd, that the Lord is with him, that even though he's walking, even though it's a contrasting statement, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's the key. We have to stir up our faith. What is the reality? That God is with us, that he is a shepherd to us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is committed through a covenant purchased by his own blood for our well-being. He loves us. We need to stir up our faith. We need to stand fast, to stand firm in our faith. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, especially in the hard times of our lives, when we are being brought through the valley of the shadow of death, as Psalm 23 describes it. Reminds me of Peter. You remember when Peter is walking, he sees Jesus walking on water, and he gets out of the boat and he begins to walk on the water as well. As long as his attention is fixed, his faith is fixed on Jesus, he's fine, even though he's in a very dangerous situation. But when he begins to fixate his mind and his attention on his circumstances, he begins to sink. He begins to panic. He needs to focus on Christ. And that's what David is teaching us here. God is always with his children, especially in difficult times. His faith is being stirred up in this psalm as he reflects on his experiences with God. And he's focused on the Lord, the great God of Israel, the shepherd of the people, the children of God. This shepherd gives his life for his sheep. His life is ruled by caring for, protecting, guarding, governing the people of God. David knew this firsthand because he was a shepherd. He did this with his own life. He gave his own, he dedicated himself to the care of his father's sheep. So it was imagery that was very personal to David. He knows that the Lord is with him, that the Lord is present, that the Lord is active on his behalf. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Do you believe that? Do you own that promise? Do you believe that the God of the universe, through his Son, Jesus Christ, shepherds you? The Lord of the universe created us in his image because he delights to be with us. He delights to welcome and to receive us into his presence. The whole idea and concept of the tabernacle in the Old Testament expresses it. God wants Israel to be with him in his symbolic presence, the tabernacle. But it's chiefly expressed in the incarnation of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we read this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The shepherd, the chief, the good shepherd, took on flesh so that he could be with his people always. David is reminding us that we need to live our lives grasping a hold of the promise that the divine is present with us through all of it. It's the nature of the covenantal relationship. God says, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." God binds himself in covenant as a shepherd over us. That is heartwarming and encouraging if we grasp it by faith. So, David reminds us in this psalm that the good shepherd is present. The second thing is that the good shepherd provides. He reminds us of the good shepherd's provision. How does the Lord conduct this work of shepherding? Well, the characteristics of a good shepherd are that they feed and water their flock. They heal the lame and the wounded. They seek those that are wandering astray. The interests of the flock consume the mind and the heart of the shepherd. The Lord provides for his sheep. David says, "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord's my shepherd, I lack nothing. I have everything I need. I am complete and full in the Lord." He gives his shepherd, or his sheep, the Lord gives his sheep rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He gives David spiritual and physical rest. Rest from the works of the law. We read earlier in the service from Psalm 32. Blessed is the man, David writes, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. He gives us rest from the burden of a legal righteousness, a law-based moral righteousness. He gives us rest from God's wrath by taking it upon himself. He's the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. He provides us, as Paul says, with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. We've got a brother in this church, Brad Talley, who is literally walking through the valley of the shadow of death in his battle with cancer. But Brad has everything. Brad has all spiritual blessings in Christ. Brad has rest. And it doesn't matter where we are in our life, what our circumstances are. David is teaching us we are full. We lack nothing. Everything is provided for us. The Lord seeks comfort for his sheep. He feeds them on the best and the most beautiful of land. They drink from the calm waters, the still waters. The Lord has our best interest in mind. The devil wants us not to believe that. The devil wants to whisper into our mind thoughts that are opposed to that. But God in the gospel speaks clearly that he is for us, that he loves us. David says, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Reminds us of Psalm 51, where David falls into grave sin with Bathsheba. And you know this, when you fall into sin, it pains us. There is a spiritual grieving that goes on. We do not like ourselves in those circumstances. And David says, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. His soul is restored. And that's the goal of the new covenant that God has made with us. If we read in Ezekiel chapter 36, God writes this after he has been very patient with Israel, and they continue to break covenant. They continue to wander. They're these sheep that are wandering, and he's constantly bringing them back and chastening them. And he writes in Ezekiel 36, verse 23, and I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations by my sheep. How is he going to do that? He's going to restore their soul. Verse 25. He writes this, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from you, from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. He restores us. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for his glory's sake. We must know that the Lord seeks our good. He constantly watches over us for this purpose. We know, says the Apostle Paul, that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. The third point, the Good Shepherd's protection. The Good Shepherd protects His flock. It's a difficult journey. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If you think about sheep, when I lived in Wales, if you drove out into the countryside, sheep were just wandering. They didn't have fences to protect them. They had spray paint to mark them apart from other farmers' sheep. But they roamed pretty much wherever they wanted in the countryside. But sheep are either followers or wanderers. They willingly submit to the shepherd, or they wander aimlessly when they have no shepherd guiding them. Our shepherd, our chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. It wasn't unexpected. He's bringing us to that point. David acknowledges that his trials, his difficulties, are overruled, supervised, guided by the providential hand of God. God leads him into the valley of the shadow of death. But he leads with his rod and his staff, the tools to protect us when we are vulnerable, when the wild animals seek to take our lives. God has chosen a path full of danger to lead us. In the story of David and the rebellion of his son Absalom later in his rule, as Absalom is starting the rebellion, David is leaving the city of Jerusalem. Absalom is starting to take power momentarily. David is fleeing for his life again. Fleeing and escaping from his own son. It's a bitter, bitter situation. Can't imagine it. But as he's fleeing the city of Jerusalem, he's met by a man named Shimei. And Shimei is a descendant of Saul. And as David, this glorious and accomplished king, is fleeing the city, this man Shimei curses him. And hurl stones at David. And David's servants, who are surrounding him, his entourage, they're ready to take out swords and put this man to death. And it's interesting how David handles the situation. David doesn't allow his servants to harm Shimei, stating that the Lord, who he says in Psalm 23 is his shepherd, who brings him into these difficult situations, ordered him to curse him and to throw stones at him. That's a faith-based perspective on life. How do you look at your life? How do you look at the Shemais that come into your life? Do you see them as appointed by God? It's hard to do that sometimes. David writes this, "Behold, my own son seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite? Leave him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him to." This is a necessary journey that the Lord brings all of his children on. He even brought his son into the valley of the shadow of death. David speaks early in the song of God's lavish provisions for him, giving him rest and providing everything for him. But when we're in positions of great blessing, from a worldly perspective on that. When all of our needs are met and we're comfortable, there is a danger of forgetting God and looking to ourselves. In Deuteronomy 6, towards the end of that chapter, the Lord promised Israel a blessed land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of great abundance. But he warns them, after partaking of this bountiful land, he warns them to beware lest they forget the Lord who brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. So oftentimes, in the wisdom, profound wisdom of God, it's in the valley of the shadow of death that our self-dependence, our trust and love for the world is taken away. And we learn to trust and depend on God. He's molding us and shaping us. He's refining us through difficult times. Blessings or comfort or worldly and material things often breed pride in our sinful hearts. In Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 11, Moses says this to the Israelites: "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God." The valley of the shadow of death humbles us, reminds us of who we are. We're creatures, not the Creator. God desires that humble and contrite heart. And because of some of the hard things in David's life, David developed a humble and a contrite spirit, which the Lord rejoiced in more than his offerings and sacrifices. These experiences in David's life taught his heart to cling to God. Situations that produce fear, whether it's our deathbed or some other time of great difficulty, they sharpen our focus. They remove a lot of the distractions that surround us most of the time. They keep us laser sharp in our trust in the Lord. When the shepherd leads us through the valley of the shadow of death, we seek after his rod and his staff to guide us. David is exercising great faith here. He's reminding himself of God's covenant promises to be his protector. He is fully resting in the wise, loving providence of God. He's not complaining. He's not bucking under it. And what's the ultimate end? Verses 5 and 6. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." The sheep don't know the end of the journey. God does. And this is the end of the journey. Why is he bringing him through the valley of the shadow of death? So he can give him everything. So that David can dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. The end is victory and blessing. God vindicates David in the presence of his enemies. Maybe he's referring to Saul and Absalom here. He showers his children with blessings. Look at verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What's the end goal of the shepherd? Why is he leading us where he leads us in life? He's preparing us for eternity, which is with him, dwelling in his presence forever. That's what our good shepherd has in store for us. It is a sweet and a precious promise. Let us rejoice in it.